say to all the mothers. Mothers are our link to God. As a child, our first impression of God and first awareness of God's love comes from our mothers. Mothers have taught us, Jesus loves me. Yes, I know. Thank God for mothers. On another note, I was listening to a song. Actually, it's a comedy channel on Sirius XM. And Jimmy Dean had a song on there. It wasn't a song. And it's like, how many years we owe an IOU to our mothers. Every time our mother tells us, corrects us, and it says the right stuff and is raising you and tries to do all the right things for us. We become indebted to our mother like an IOU, constant IOU. And at the end of the sketch, it said, we can repay all the IOUs we ever owed our mother by four simple words. Mom, I love you. And that's the payment that all mothers want to hear. So if you remember that and tell your mother how much you love her, no matter what, your IOUs will be taken care of. I know my mother passed away when I was 22 years old, and I never, ever told her I loved her enough. And I always think of that, and I think of her all the time. And my father, too, of course, but that's another day. So happy Mother's Day, mothers. And I hope you had a great breakfast. We had fun cooking it. Well, I don't know how much fun it was, but we enjoyed it. So anyhow, let's get on with business here. The announcements, first thing, of course, is the ritual friendship cards. They're in the back of the pews. If need be, please fill them out. Okay, welcome to our world. We have some congratulations on some births to Carissa Burley on the birth of her daughter, Lila Mae Burley, 8 pounds, 6 ounces, 19 inches long, a beautiful baby. And to Armando and Maria on the birth of their daughter, Camilla, on April 23rd. So congratulations. The calendar on the back of the bulletin, we have the minister's office hours. Monday at 7 p.m. is Women's Bible Study. Is that correct? And Friday, it's 5 p.m. on Thursday is the circles. And Thursday at 12 p.m. is the AA. And 7:30 p.m. on Friday is Al-Anon. And 7:30 p.m. this Friday is the coffee house. Let's see, anything else? Workday is Tuesday, 9 to 12. And according on the bottom, there's a note, VBS, the theme Olympics. Lots of getting decorations ready. Meeting every Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. If you can help, please attend these important Wednesday meetings. Melissa Glass is the director. Thank you. Are there any other announcements? Anything else? Dawn. Thanks, George, and without your guidance, it would have been not quite the success it has been, but you do a great job, and so do all the guys, you know. So I kind of just stood there and cooked some French toast this morning. So, Don, and he, of course, I was Don's assistant. Okay. Okay, welcome to the Lord's Day. It is our great privilege and responsibility on this day to worship the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Let's spend a moment in a time of silence as we prepare our hearts and minds to worship Him. comes together to serve God and worship. The processional hymn this morning is in the Chalice Hymnal, number 27, Come Thou Almighty King. This Mother's Day, we gather before you as children, dependent upon you for life itself, turning to you for guidance, celebrating your grace, enjoying your care and companionship, basking in your love, and expressing our unity with each other as members of your family. Let us bow now for the prayer of confession, followed by the Lord's Prayer. Lord of all creation, Father of lights, Author of love, we confess that we have not always followed your divine blueprint for living together as a family. We have sometimes been impatient with each other. We have been quick to speak and slow to listen. We have placed our own desires and our own agenda first. We have sometimes been uncompromising in working through differences of opinion. As children, we have sometimes been disrespectful, and as parents, we have sometimes been impatient and irritable. Forgive us, Lord God, for not fulfilling your law of love, and help us to create the kind of homes that honor you and nurture each other. And as God taught us, as Jesus taught us to pray, our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Comes together to share tithes and offerings. Concerning love of the brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anyone write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. The offertory hymn is number 526, The Gift of Love, Chalice Hymnal.
give these offerings not only as individuals, but also as families. For together we serve you, together we worship, and together we sacrifice for a cause larger than ourselves. Amen.
Committee proclaims the word of God. The first scripture reading this morning is Ecclesiastes 1, verses 12 to 18, and then 2, verses 22 to 26. That's in the Old Testament, page 614 in the Pew Bible. I, the teacher, when king over Israel and Jerusalem, applied my mind to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to human beings to be busy with. I saw all the deeds that are done under the sun and see all is vanity and a chasing after wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be counted. I said to myself, I have acquired great wisdom, surpassing all who were over Jerusalem before me, and my mind has great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I applied my mind to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this is but a chasing after wind. For in much wisdom is much vexation, and those who increase knowledge increase sorrow. There is nothing better for mortals than to eat and drink and find enjoyment in their toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from him who can eat or who can have enjoyment, for to the one who pleases him God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy. But the sinner he gives the work of gathering and heaping, only to give to one who pleases God. This also is vanity and a chasing after wind. The word of the Lord. The anthem for Elise is piano solo. Thank you.
welcome to the Christian Church of Connellsville. On this Mother's Day, we give thanks for all the mothers in our presence and all the mothers in our lives, and the Lord who mothers us all. We give thanks for life and birth and new life and for gifts to share. We give thanks for Heidi playing the wonderful solo and all that she's playing for us today as she fills in for Wanda, who is recovering and doing well. Coming up next week, Ellen Herman will be filling in, and we'll do so, I think, until Wanda's ready to come back. We give thanks that Wanda's surgery was successful and that she is taking the time to rest and taking it almost as a sort of silver lining. Certainly, she is someone who fills her time, her calendar, with 1,000 things to do. Now is the time for her to simply rest and rest in the presence of the Lord. We also remember this morning David's mom, and we thank you for honoring her. We're also grateful to see you, David. Glad to hear that things are better for you after that terrible accident. We praise God that you're well. We also want to lift up prayers for the Petrowski family this morning. Debbie Petrowski passed away. We have been praying for her for a few weeks now. She passed away last evening. Her husband Dan and stepson Matt attended our church before they moved down to Virginia. So let us pray for the Petrowski family in the middle of their loss. Are there other joys and concerns we want to share with one another this morning? We do, of course, rejoice on the birth of 2 children, as we listed in our bulletin. We rejoice over that. And next week we will have 6 baptisms, and we rejoice over that. Teresa? Charles Myers passed away, and we will pray for his family. Thank you. George? So we'll pray for Ellie dealing with her 5th concussion. We'll pray for her. Thank you. Roxanne? Rejoice, that's good news. Certainly he is in need of good news, and we pray for him and give thanks for the generosity of those who have helped your brother and continue to do so. Seeing none other, let us take a moment in silence as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer. Glorious God of love and grace, as you swing wide the gate of welcome this day, we pray that you will strengthen us to walk through the gate of your love and mercy. Protect us from harm as we lie down in the fields of your mercy and rise again to travel this journey of faith. Speak to us, Lord, through your teachings this day, so that we might devote ourselves to your guidance and feed on your life-giving word. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our shepherd, our leader, who is our guide in life and in the next. May we ruminate on his word and on his life and on his actions, that we may devote ourselves to following them and emulating them, that we may also be good news in this world. For those who are saddened and depressed, for those who are struggling and frightened, may we bring hope and love, kindness and compassion. We do so through our own gifts, but we know that our gifts come through you, and the love that we share is the love that you have created. Help us to reflect your word and your life and your love in this world, that others may know it and reflect it as well. For we pray even as there is much darkness, much pain and difficulty and suffering in the world. We lift our hearts to all those who are downtrodden and all those who are suffering. It's so hard to keep up with the things that we see in our news, and yet also then we have experienced it in our life. For we know that many people have lost loved ones today. We pray for the Petrowski family on the passing of Deb. We pray for the Myers family on the passing of Charles. We pray for all those on this day especially for whom their mothers are with you. And we remember them and give thanks for them. And give thanks to you for them and all that they did for us and taught us and demonstrated us. May all those who are in despair, in grief, and in sorrow remember that you are the one who wipes away our tears. And you promise us a new age when the old order will have passed away and there will be no more tears, for there will be an end to crying and pain and suffering. May that promise rest on us now in the present. Give us a hope for the future that we may continue to rejoice in your sunshine in the day that you have given us. Others also are concerned about loved ones who are ill and not doing well. We particularly lift up Ellie into your care. Ellie Yotzi, we pray for her as she continues to struggle with concussions. May you guide her doctors. May you give her the help that she needs. Help her to rest and to be well. And we pray the same for Wanda as she continues to recover from her leg surgery. All those on our prayer list, our shut-in members, those who have had surgery recently, we lift all of these into your care. And we give you thanks for those who are well. For Dave, who has gone through a difficult and harrowing experience, with us today, worshiping you, we give you thanks. We remember his mother and we remember his love that she shared with him, and we give you thanks. And we give you thanks that although Roxanne's brother has had a terrible ordeal and the loss of his house and all his possessions, we do give you thanks for those who have reached out in generosity and love to help him, not only at the dinner yesterday, but throughout these last several days, several weeks, that he may see the good in the world also. Give thanks for his health, for the day that he has been given, and know that you are in it. For shepherds and mentors, we pray, O Lord. For mothers and guides, we give thanks. For friends who care, for families who nurture, we lift up and pray. For this family of faith, this congregation of spiritual teachers, we celebrate. For the gift of love, both given and received, we offer you our unending gratitude. You, O Lord, who has given us so much, and yet promises still more. In the holiness and sacredness of this space, together as your body of Christ, as your church and family, together we say, Amen. Children, come forward for the junior sermon. Come on down. Yeah, someone's excited to hear the preacher talk. Yes, I like that. How's everyone today? I'm gonna try this again. How are you all today?
Good.
Yeah, all right. I bet you are, because today is like the best day ever. Today is Kids Day. Right? Wait. Shh. Oh, it's not Kids Day. You know what I got confused? Because like literally every day is Kids Day. right? But today is Mother's Day. Did you do something nice to your mother?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you today, for Mother's Day, make your mother breakfast, and then, just to give a little something extra, refuse to clean your room? Did you today, for Mother's Day, make a card for your mother and said, "I love you, Mommy, you're the best," and then, just to show you how much you loved her, refuse to get dressed? Did you today get your mother a present, like the best thing that she likes, and then throw a fit? See, some of you are saying, yeah, yeah, and you're joking, but I wonder if you're like half joking. And some of you I know are joking. Some of you I know. See, the point is, it's Mother's Day, right? And so for Mother's Day, what do we want to do for mothers? Do we love our mothers? No. All right, stop. Do our mothers love us? Okay. Do our mothers love us all the time? Oh, no nuggies in church. All the time, exactly. That's the point I want to make here. Your mother loves you all the time, even when you're not being the best, right? Your mother loves you all the time. And we have this day to show her how much we love her, but it doesn't do any good to say, "Mommy, I love you," and then to not listen or to be rude, right? Okay, yes.
It is officially
National Bat Day. No, it's not. Bats are nocturnal, and they do not come out during the day. And I feel like you know that already, so let's keep the bad away. Now, the same thing is true with God. Does God love you?
Yes.
Does God love you all the time?
Yes.
Does God love you even when you refuse to clean your room?
Yes.
He does, actually. He's disappointed with you when you refuse to clean your room, but he still loves you. What? Yes. No, we're not talking about bats. Yes, but that's only because my son interrupted and change the subject, as he often does. So you tell him a fact about bats. I just said a fact about bats. A fact about bats after the children's sermon. So God loves you even when you're not doing the best things. Even when you're not listening or you're not doing everything you're supposed to do. Even when you're not listening to your daddy do the children's sermon. Right? God still loves you. Now, do you love God? Do you love God? Do you love God? Do you say to God, "God, I love you so much, and just to show you how much I love you, I am going to steal a cookie from my brother"? Okay. Do you ever say, "God, I love you so much for all that you do for me, so now what I'm going to do to show you how much I appreciate it is I'm going to complain that you haven't done enough for me. You haven't given me enough toys, God. You haven't given me enough fun things to do." See, sometimes as people, as children, but also as adults, we treat God sometimes the way we treat mothers, too. We love God. We love our moms. Always. But we don't always show it, do we? And that's one thing. But it's even worse sometimes when we God, how do we say it? When we praise God with one side of our mouth and then complain with another. Jesus, or God said to the people through his prophets, and said, "I'm tired of your empty worship. I'm tired of your empty prayers." In other words, he's tired of the people who kept saying, "Let's do this, let's go to the temple, and let's pray to God about how much we love him, and then let's go and ignore everything that God has told us to do."
No.
Right. Exactly. You understand that's boo behavior. Yes. That's good. Okay. So you understand that. That's very good. It's not enough to tell God we love him. We want to show, and the way we show is by listening and behaving and doing what he wants. And it's not enough to tell your mother, "Happy Mother's Day, I love you, and now I'm going to go make a mess of my room." Right? When you go home, you're going to say, "I love you. What do you want me to do?" Oh, no, I'm going to tell you. Okay? Show, don't tell. Okay? When it comes to love, show, don't tell. Show us how you love, okay? Thank you. You can go to your class. It's like her. herding cats down here. Our second scripture lesson today comes from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 to 11, which is found on page 118 of the New Testament portion of your pew Bible. Here begins the reading. Now, I'll just introduce real quick to say that the person who wrote the book of Acts is also the person who wrote the Gospel of Luke. And so, when he talks about the first book here in the first verse, he's referring to the Gospel of Luke. So, Luke writes, "In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning, until the day when he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. 'This,' he said, 'is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now.' So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?' And he replied, 'It is not for you to know the time or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and indeed to the ends of the earth.' When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who had been taken up from you to heaven will come in the same way you saw him go into heaven.' The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." We've had two different scriptures today, and we're going to talk about both of them. If you remember, the scripture that Bill read for you was from the book of Ecclesiastes, one of the most interesting and different passages or books of the Bible that we have. It's part of the section of the Bible they call the wisdom books: Psalms, Proverbs, Job, Song of Solomon, Lamentations, Ecclesiastes. It is one of the most well known of them. It is a deep book, a rich book, written from the perspective of one who has seen and lived a lot of life, who believes that he has little wisdom to show for it. It's believed to be written by Solomon. It never says that in the book, but it talks about being king of Israel, and we think of Solomon as one being wise. It is believed, or at least it's considered by scholars, that it was Solomon who wrote the Song of Solomon as a young man, Proverbs as a middle-aged adult, and Ecclesiastes toward the end of his life. You can be sure that he is one who sought wisdom above all else and has lived much life and has become a little bit disillusioned at the end, for his favorite saying is, "Vanity, vanity, all is vanity." Everything seems pointless and a chasing after the wind, another phrase that he uses so often in this book, signifying a grand pursuit that goes nowhere, kind of like a dog who chases its tail. It seems like a strange book to find in the Bible. It is certainly controversial when they were trying to decide what books would go in. It was not universally embraced. Some have argued that its purpose is to show how bleak life would be without God. And later on, the New Testament came developed life without Christ. While others see it as a back door to the scriptures, so to speak, a book that you might have someone read who is feeling a little bit down out of life and may identify with it a little bit better. Perhaps they might start there. Ultimately, it was its discussion on the cycles of life. Not so much the cycles of life as in that a seed goes through, but the cycles of life that a person goes through. Its emphasis on finding meaning in God and its frank discussion of the limits of human wisdom that won its entry into the Bible. For the book minces no words and wastes no time. It begins immediately with its author in a funk. There's really no other way to say it. He is feeling down. "Vanity of vanities, we read," says the teacher. "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What do people gain from all the toil at which they toil under the sun? A generation goes, a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun goes down and hurries to the place where it rises. The wind blows to the south and goes around to the north. Round and round goes the wind, and on its circuits the wind returns. For many, the appeal of this book is its honesty and its truthfulness. We all feel this way from time to time. We all have been there and will be there. It makes clear that all who live will one day die. All that exists today will not last. Perhaps you've heard the phrase, "This too shall pass," and it is a good phrase, especially when we are in a dark period of time, right? When the clouds are above us, and we think to ourselves, "This too shall pass," it helps us to get to the time when the sun comes out. But you know also that it works both ways. This day is beautiful, and this too shall pass. It will rain again. The world moves on its appointed path, but never goes anywhere really. The sun rises, the sun sets, only to do it again tomorrow. Now, in many ways, there is comfort in these things, and many people do find comfort in them. It is steadfast, it is predictable, it is comfortable, and it is the idea that God has arranged it so things aren't, there's not chaos. We don't want chaos in our lives. We always say that the sun will come up tomorrow and take comfort from this stability and this promise and the orderliness of the world that God has designed. But when one is tired of the repetitive nature of life, they may see in this only vanity. Now, I don't usually feel like the author, but I have from time to time. And I know others do as well. And I know that there will be days ahead when I will again, when everything seems pointless, when you're just going through the motions, when you're just getting up tomorrow like you did today, doing it all over again. When all my efforts come to little, it feels like I have been chasing after the wind. I remember my dog loved to chase her tail. That was like her number one pastime, really. And if you're a dog, what other options do you really have to entertain yourself? But she would chase her tail, and she would chase her tail, and one day she caught it. And then she didn't know what to do, so she just kept going. And then she fell down. And that was the game. And then an hour later, she'd forget, and she'd do it again. Sometimes in our lives, it seems as if we're just getting up and we're going to work and we're doing the same thing and we're paying the same bills and it's frustrating. Even Mother Teresa, the great saint of the faith, even Mother Teresa in her journal, which were published after she died, she spoke of a feeling of an emptiness that came upon her for a while, a distance from God, despite all of her best efforts to make a real difference in people's lives. And we use her name as what are you, some Mother Teresa? You know, what do you have to be a Mother Teresa to get to heaven? One time I used that, and someone didn't know who I was talking about. Oh, I'm getting old now, apparently. But if she, who helped so many in the name of Christ, even at times felt distance from God, then we can understand Solomon and all of his wisdom feeling it as well, and we can understand ourselves feeling it also. No one is immune from a dark night of the soul. If the great ones like Teresa or Solomon felt it, how much more common is it for us to feel it as well? To feel like we are sometimes chasing the wind. After all, so much of life is chasing the wind. At work, you're either fighting to climb up the ladder or just trying to keep your head above water. So much of it is stress and pressure. Even when it is meaningful, it is easy to tire of it. There was a time when I worked at a restaurant and I was a dishwasher. And, I mean, what was the point? The dishes were just going to get dirty again tomorrow. I mean, it was going to be the same dishes with the same food on them. It was hard sometimes to get up and go. But we work to make a living. We have bills to pay. Oftentimes, though, we live to work. We don't really admit that to ourselves too much, but sometimes we do. We all want to get ahead, but when prices go up and the goalposts of happiness keep getting moved just as we near them, we work some more. Other times we spend our life searching for peace and quiet. We need some time away from the kids, some time for ourselves, but always there are demands on our time. And then there is the search for accumulating knowledge. We read books for pleasure, only to find ourselves in a hurry to finish one that we might move on to the next. I had the frustration of reading a book and really enjoying it, and then like a year later kind of forgetting a great deal of it. Think, oh, all the time I spent studying this book or learning this thing, and now I got to go back and do it again. I hate my memory. I curse my memory sometimes. Sometimes, too, we even try to be productive in our leisure time. The more we learn, the more we learn how much there is to learn, until gaining in wisdom means gaining in stress. Love, love, love the comic strip Calvin and Hobbes. And there's a great one of his dad. His dad's a bike rider, and he does this for fun. And he has a odometer on his bike, so he knows how fast he's going and how many miles he's going. He also has, this is before the days of Fitbit, but he had something that measured his heart rate, and he had something else that measured his blood pressure. And when his son, the child, Calvin, said, "Dad, why do you have all this stuff?" He said, "It tells me how much fun I'm having. It tells me how much fun I'm having." And it, as a kid, I laugh at that. I'm in Calvin's place. I'm laughing, ho, 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 the silly adult. And now as an adult, I'm like, you know, at the gym reading the readout on my Stairmaster, so I know how much fun I'm having right now. I'm having 2% more fun than I did yesterday, according to the readout. Or all of us with our Fitbits and pedometers. And I drive with my car. I have a gauge on my car for the miles per gallon. And the goal is to get the miles per gallon as high as I possibly can. It's my game. Right, I coast down every hill. What do you call it, Ken? Hypermiling. This is the adult grown-up game. It tells us how much fun we are having. We can make work even out of fun as we chase after the wind. It is this last thing, this finding difficulty in knowledge that the teacher speaks of the most. When he says, "I, the teacher, when king over Israel and Jerusalem, I apply my mind to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to human beings to be busy with. I saw all the deeds that are done under the sun and see all is vanity and a chasing after wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight. What is lacking cannot be accounted. I said to myself, I have acquired great wisdom, surpassing all who were over Jerusalem before me. My mind has great experience of wisdom and knowledge, and I apply my mind to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this is also a chasing after wind. For much wisdom is much vexation. And those who increase knowledge increase sorrow." Now that is a bleak way to look at it. That's not entirely true. But ignorance sometimes can be bliss. Sometimes we do not need to know all that is happening or all of the bad things especially that have occurred. Sometimes turning off the radio and turning off the news and shutting down your head for a little bit is a good, good thing. But what words to speak of wisdom? This is, after all, a wisdom book. It celebrates wisdom. And in Proverbs, we are told that wisdom is better than gold, but if more money can bring with it more problems, then the same is even true of more wisdom. We can know too much. It seems like the world is falling apart, but studies actually show that war and crime are actually greatly decreased, especially compared for population. Terrorists seem to lurk around every corner, yet such attacks are actually lower than they have been in a long time. Natural disasters happen so often, we have to wonder if the end of the world really is near. But all these things have been brought to our attention by our media and our televisions, not in a negative way, not in an attempt to be negative, but just, here's some information, you must have it. It used to be that we wouldn't know of a landslide in Asia, or a forest fire in Burma, or a drought in South America. It gives us so much knowledge, it often leaves us feeling powerless. Imagine if you had knowledge to know all that was wrong with the world, the wisdom to know how to fix it, but no power to actually do anything. I wonder if that is how the teacher feels. The problem here isn't wisdom or knowledge. It's knowledge and lack of power or the ability to change things. In some ways, ignorance may be bliss, but, if everyone is ignorant, then nothing can be changed and nothing can be done. Many oftentimes, ignorance is quite the opposite of bliss. Finally, though, Solomon concludes, "There is nothing better for mortals than to eat and drink and find enjoyment in their toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat and who can have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases him, God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he gives the work of gathering and heaping, only to give to one who pleases God. This also is a vanity and a chasing after." I love that phrase, chasing after wind. It is just the perfect description of a pointless exercise. And from this we hear that, you know, enjoying life is good. Enjoying God is even better. And because the two go hand in hand, enjoying God helps us to enjoy life, because so much of what we do in life, we're going to do again tomorrow. But if we believe that God is with us in the act, then it is no longer vanity, nor chasing after the wind. All that we can do is enjoy what life brings, and when life brings unpleasantness, rejoice in the fact that it will pass. Much of its teachings can be summed up in the words of the Doris Day song, "Que sera, sera." Whatever will be, will be. There are worse words to live by. Sometimes this is good advice, but I do say sometimes. This book, which is rich in wisdom and truth, it is a book that none of us should make our guidebook. We should not wake up every day and read from the book of Ecclesiastes to decide how we're going to live. It is instructive that it is the only book of its kind within the Bible. It indicates to me that it is right to follow its wisdom sometimes, but only occasionally. It's all right to feel that way sometimes, but not all the time. Most of the time, we should be working to make the world a better place or improve our lives. Most of the time, we should look at our actions as if they matter because they do. And if it seemed to be a small difference is not no difference. There is a very big difference between the two things. Something is at stake. As long as we understand our limitations, as long as we understand that God is so much greater and wiser than we, then we will not be chasing after wind, but the wind will be at our backs. Well, our other scripture lesson from the book of Acts talks about the Holy Spirit, the beginning of the Holy Spirit. Next week is Pentecost, when we will celebrate the giving of the Holy Spirit, not only to the disciples, but indeed to the world, which means also then to you and I. And the Bible often uses the word wind as a code for spirit, as a synonym for spirit. God breathed the wind over the waters at creation. A hot wind came upon the disciples when the Holy Spirit descends in Jerusalem. The wind that blows where it wills is the Spirit of God, and we hear the sound of it, but you do not know from whence it comes or whither it goes. And so it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Instead of chasing the wind, let us, therefore, listen to the wind. For the wind is the Holy Spirit, and often it will move us from placidness and stir us from restlessness. Sometimes it does calm us down, and we need that. Sometimes it comforts us, and we need that. But more often than not, the Holy Spirit moves us out of our stupor, out of our slumber. Mother Teresa continued in her diaries to talk about when she felt that God was distant from her, that she continued to pray and pray and pray until she felt the Spirit come. And it felt to her as a wind blowing upon her back. Often the Spirit moves us into action on behalf of those who are in need, but sometimes every once in a while the Spirit tells us simply to eat and drink and be merry. Enjoy the day that God has given us, for it too will pass. All of our labors and our wisdom and our knowledge are in vain if we do not understand that life is short and a gift from God. All things that God gives us are a gift. And life itself is chasing after wind if we don't recognize that God is with us always and in all things. So let us celebrate that the wind of God be always at our back or underneath our wings, so that we are blown by its strength rather than chasing its tail. If we trust in God that is with us, if we trust that God's Spirit is near, then in all things, no matter what we are doing, even if it's exactly the same as what we did before, we will not be chasing after the wind, but indeed we'll have the wind of God, the Spirit of God, behind our back. So that whatever we did before will be a lot easier to do today if the Spirit is with us and the wind is with us as well. Amen. And now the community comes together with the Lord's table. All believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of membership in this congregation, are invited to receive the bread of life and the cup of forgiveness. Please take the emblems of their past and partake as best suits your meditation. For our communion hymn today, we have a special request. You know, my first love, well, it was radio. I was going to be a DJ, and I do have my own radio show, too. Sometimes I do on my friend's radio station. So I take requests, is what I'm saying here. And Arnold Lichty had a request for us today. He wanted to share with us this song that he enjoys called No Charge by Melba Montgomery. We're going to listen to it as our communion hymn. We're going to talk about it for our communion meditation. The words of the hymn are an insert in your bulletin if you want to read along.
My little boy came into the kitchen this evening while I was fixing supper, and he handed me a piece of paper he'd been writing on. And after wiping my hands on my apron, I read it, and this is what it said. For mowing the yard, $5. Making my own bed this week, $1. Going to the store, 50 cents. Watching little brother while you went shopping, 25 cents. For taking out the trash, $1. Getting a good report card, $5. And raking the leaves, $2. Total owed, $14.75. Well, I looked at him standing there expecting, and 1,000 memories flashed through my mind. So I picked up the pen and turning the paper over, this is what I wrote. For the 9 months I carried you, growing inside me, no charge. For the nights I sat up with you, doctored you, prayed for you, no charge. For the time and the tears and the cost through the years, there's no charge. When you add it all up, the full cost of my love is no charge. For the nights filled with dread and the worry ahead, no charge. For advice and the knowledge and the cost of your college, no charge. For the toys, food and clothes, and for wiping your nose, there's no charge, son. When you add it all up, the full cost of my love is no charge. Well, when he finished reading, he had great big old tears in his eyes. And he looked up at me and he said, Mama, I sure do love you. And then he took the pen and in great big letters he wrote, paid in full. When you add it all up, the full cost of my love is no charge.
Let's call it up. What do we do? Encore. Encore here. What is true of our mothers is also true of our God. There's no doubt that if we were to create such a list for our mothers and we could have all kinds of things that we wanted, and maybe perhaps we did when we were kids, it would, of course, anything that we do would pale in comparison to the love that was shown to us and continues to be shown to us by our mothers each and every day. And the same is true also then of our God. There is nothing that we can do to pay back every single sunrise and every single sunrise. There's nothing that we can do to pay back the flowers and the trees and indeed our very life. Nothing we can do to pay back the gift of eternal life that was given to us through Jesus Christ. All that can be done is for us to appreciate and give thanks. But as we said before, not to give thanks in a half-hearted way, not to give thanks out of a sense of obligation or a sense of debt, but to give thanks out of a sense of gratitude. The kind of gratitude that comes from deep within, the gratitude that comes knowing that there is nothing we can do to pay back. There is nothing we can do to cover the cost, but we know that our Lord and God has covered the cost for us through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we gather at this table, we remember all that it did cost to give us the promise of eternity. And we gather to share in this meal with one another, to give thanks as a way of giving back. Now this morning, let us pray.
Dear Lord, we give you thanks and praise for mothers, young and old, and mothers to be. We pray for mothers who have nurtured and cared for us. May they continue to guide in strong and gentle ways. We pray for young mothers who give life and tend to our every need. May they be blessed with patience and tenderness to care for their families and themselves with great joy. We pray for women who are not mothers but still love and shape us with motherly care and compassion. We remember mothers, grandmothers, and great-grandmothers who are no longer with us but live forever in our hearts and memories and nourished us with their love. In your name we pray. Amen.
For I hand on to you, it was also handed on to me. Then on the night when the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread. And after he blessed it, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Eat this as often as you do in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he took the cup. Then after he blessed it, he poured it out and said, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood that is poured out for you. Drink this as often as you do in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Thank you.
now the community response to the Word of God. If any gather here wish to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, rededicate your life to God, or transfer into the fellowship of this congregation, we invite you to come forward as we sing. Our invitation hymn is number 552 in the Child's Hymnal, Standing on the Promises. Let us stand on the promises. Be with you in all times and places, in the days ahead and the week ahead. May we know that the Spirit is near in all things, so that nothing is ever chasing after the wind, but the wind of the Spirit go with us and fill our sails. Amen.